We're going to be continuing our series today, week 4 of Psalm 119. Again, just a reminder, why are we doing this? Because this psalm probably more than, well, I don't know, scripture does this, but I just really find Psalm 119 to be an incredible mirror into our lives. And when we allow that mirror to show us back some things that we need to think about, some things that we need to change, it can be a very powerful dynamic in our spiritual life and our spiritual growth. So that's why we're going to look at it again today. And we're going to start at verse 25. We should have a teaching outline for you in your bulletin. If you did not get a bulletin and you'd like one, just make sure you raise your hand and then an usher will come by with that for you. There's fill in the blanks. You can follow along with the PowerPoint. I find that, in fact, our men's group uses this during our small group discussion in the week, and it's just a very powerful way to allow the Holy Spirit to reinforce things for us. So let's take a look, beginning at verse 25 today. I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. Sometimes we need to pick me up, don't we? Sometimes life can really smack us around, beat us down, discourage us, right? To whom or to what, to where do we turn? In those moments when we have been beat up by life, where do we go? Where do we find inspiration? Where do we find encouragement? Where do we find correction? Where do we go? A lot of options in today's world. Some of the popular ones are Dr. Phil, Oprah, a lot of other talk shows. You can get from them what you're looking for. The latest craze, if you need a little pick-me-up, is the 5-hour energy bottle. Yeah, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm just going to say, please, please, please do not get into that kind of craziness. All right? That's just an alternative that is not a very healthy one. The old standbys, alcohol, drugs, pills, pornography, sex, TV, gambling, lottery tickets, all kinds of things that provide a little pick-me-up in the course of my day, right? On your outline, God's Word, the Bible, has what we need to be revived. Can I get an amen? I heard one. And another one. All right. What does it mean to be revived? Bring back to life again. To be restored to use again. All right? To be renewed. So when we're worn out, depressed, tempted, grieving, angry, hurt, sad, Scripture has a word that will speak to our need. All right? It speaks to our situation. Here's one example. This is on your outline. 1 Corinthians 10. But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. Amen? He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you will not give into it. There is a word from God. Right there is some instruction. When we're being tempted, we already know how we can respond is more important than the temptation itself, right? How I react to the temptation tells a lot about my character and where I really want to be in relationship to that temptation. The catch is, it says, God will provide the way out if I want it. If I want it. If I'm open to that, if I'm interested, or if that temptation is really what I want to begin with, I'll probably give in to it. Here's another example, Galatians 6:9, also on your outline. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. There again, if you are discouraged, there's a word of encouragement. Right? From the Scripture on your outline, God's Word can speak life into our life or into us. Next slide. Should show up. There we are. Okay, excellent. Now, even these two examples, you may be asking yourself, where do I find these verses? How do I get myself familiar enough with the Bible, with the Scriptures, so that when I'm having a downtime, or I'm sad, or I'm lonely, or that I can find this stuff and allow it to speak life, to renew, right? to bring life back to me again. Well, one of the things you need to do is get this word familiar to you. I recommend, in fact, Margaret just asked me this week for a 1 year reading through the Bible plan. That is an excellent way to expose yourself to the entirety of Scripture over the course of 12 months. What I do is I keep a little notepad with my... I actually have a Bible that's segmented into daily readings. And I keep a little notebook, and I just... If the Holy Spirit kind of pops something out at me, I just jot it down. That reference and that thought that came with it. What happens when you do that? You start to remember these things. They become... And, or you can go back and look. You get older, you go back and look, right? Yeah, I see shit, yeah. You go back and look and say, that's where that was. And you can then be able to benefit from that. But you've got to be able to get this stuff in. The other thing you can do, if you don't remember it, is just do an internet search. We have a wonderful resource these days, folks. I did this this week. I just typed in Bible verses for sadness. It popped up all kinds of websites, but I think it was about the second or third one down. I saw a thing that said 135 verses. So I think it might have been openbible.com or something like that was the actual website. But I clicked on it, and boom, there was a document, 135 verses regarding sadness. Now, you can take any topic you want and type it in, and you're going to be able to get some information very quickly that will speak life. That's the whole point of this, right? Your word, I'm down, pick me up, revive me. That is available to us. A couple other things. You can ask a friend, right? Ask a friend, a mentor, your disciple or the person you're working with one-on-one or your small group leader. Okay, or you can bring it into your small group and just say, hey, I'm kind of struggling with depression right now. Does anybody have some Bible verses that address this that could help me? I mean, that's how we can help each other, all right? And then one last thing, invest in a good study Bible. Invest in a good... A study Bible is not just a regular Bible, because a study Bible will have all kinds of explanation for verses. It'll have a way to look up a topic like hurt or loneliness or anger or whatever in the back of the Bible. You can look Bible verses up. That's another way to find verses when they're not familiar to you. Okay? So those are options. Those are possibilities. All right. The question really comes down to, though, is that what I want? Do I want those sources of encouragement? Is that really the lean of my heart? You see, here's kind of the catch. I can do the Bible search. I can look at this stuff. But if I'm just kind of going out of curiosity and if I've already kind of decided, let me just see what the Bible says. I'm not really sure I'll do it, but I'm kind of curious. If that's the attitude that you take to it, you're probably wasting your time. You're probably not going to utilize what the Bible is giving you in terms of a way to bring life back to you. So you've got to make up your mind, am I going to do what the Bible provides? Am I going to take that offer of life, or am I going to pass on it? What am I going to do? All right, 26. I love this one. This is almost funny. I told you my plans and you answered. Now teach me your decrees. I love that. But isn't that like us, right? God, here are my plans. And then we expect God to be impressed. We expect God just to automatically bless what we're going to do, right? I love the honesty of the psalm writer. He's like, yeah, now teach me your decrees. Oh, goodness. Proverbs, this is on your outline. A couple references that go right to this. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. All right? You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Amen? Yeah. And so I think that's what I see in verse 26 here, going back to our psalm. The psalm writers discovered this principle, and this is on your outline. Rather than starting with our plans, let's start with learning God's will. We get His will from the Bible, right? That's how we understand how we are to live. His decrees, as it says in this translation in verse 26. That's where we find that. So, let's get God's perspective, amen, on what make good priorities, good values, good plans, good goals, all that. And once we've got a hold of that, now we have something to live by. Now we've got something that can guide us and instruct us and encourage us in our life. Verse 27. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. Again, a lot there. The point I want to make is on your outline. Just because this is in the first person doesn't mean that we're on our own to do this. Right? We can help each other understand and learn. We can encourage each other in our faith journey. I just want to remind you again, we're kind of at the beginning of the year, a time when people are kind of making decisions about how they're going to lead their life and what they're going to do. Think very seriously about getting into a small group if you aren't in one, or getting one-on-one discipleship if you're serious about growing in your faith. I really want to encourage you to give that some thought. We have small groups. We can get you in one. Okay? See Pastor Dan or myself. We'll get you in a group and get you plugged in. But having folks alongside of you that can help you in your faith journey, very important. Verse 28. I weep with sorrow, encourage me by your word. And so what I mentioned earlier, I did an internet search on sadness. I put four of those verses, of those 135, into your outline. The first one, Psalm 34. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Right? John 14:1. Let not your hearts be troubled. But these are Jesus speaking now. Believe in God, believe also in me. Back to Psalm. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Those are just four examples. So, when he says here, I weep with sorrow, encourage me by your word, there are ways that we can experience that if we want that. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges is when I'm down, okay, when I'm having a struggle of some kind, am I willing to make the effort then to dig into God's word and get out of it what I need? That's kind of the challenge and the dilemma. As I was thinking about that, we can't get gold out of the earth by sitting in our recliner and just wishing that it would show up in our lap, right? We have to show up. Okay, we have to get to the gold mine. We have to dig. We have to sweat. We have to work at it. That's the only way that happens. And on your outline, God's word is a gold mine for those willing to dig. This is very active. It's not passive. We're not going to get this encouragement by just kind of laying in bed, twiddling our thumbs, going, I just don't feel good. God's not going to just somehow drop it in your lap. We have to dig for it. We have to be willing to work for it. It shows God we're serious. I want this. I want this to be into my life. Amen? All right. And also, coming back to small group and discipleship for just a second, it's better to be building up some of this in your life while things are going well. Because when you do get down, it is hard. I'm not going to deny it. It is hard to reach out. It is hard to get into the scriptures. But when you've been doing it, it's a little easier to keep it going if you've got that routine in or that discipline in your life. But if you wait until you're in the crisis to now start digging into the word, sometimes you don't even want to. You're just frustrated. You're overwhelmed. You're down in the dumps, whatever. So build this stuff up today. Don't wait until you hit a rough spot. Verse 29. Again, very, very powerful. Keep me from lying to myself. Yeah. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. Yeah, it's true, isn't it? We can lie to ourselves, deceive ourselves, make ourselves think things that aren't true, right? All of us. I was thinking, I happened to run across an article about Lance Armstrong, and I'm not trying to demean the man. Everything that he's done now is pretty out in the open. This is a very, well, what appeared to be a very gifted athlete who had his organization, they've now saying, had the most sophisticated doping program going in professional athletics. They were able to escape detection for years. They were able to gain an unfair advantage for years. How did that all happen? Deception. It started by deceiving themselves. That this is an okay thing. It's okay if you don't get caught. We won't get caught. Whatever. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that we can deceive ourselves. And the honesty of this psalm writer, keep me from lying to myself. That tells me, if I'm asking God to help me with this, what does that mean? I can do this, right? I can lie to myself. I can deceive myself if I'm left to my own devices. And so he's saying here, God, I need help with this. I need help. And he, that when he says, keep me from lying to myself, I want to go back to something I've been saying in this series. We're not shoving off the responsibility here to God, saying, well, God, this is your job to make sure I don't lie to myself. That's not what he's saying. In fact, I put it on your outline. Keep me is a simple acknowledgement that we can't do it on our own. Okay, we can't do this on our own. Jeremiah, here's why. Jeremiah 17:9. If you don't know this verse by heart, it's one you want to kind of hang on to because it's so true. The human heart is most deceitful and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? That's the truth. That is true. We can deceive ourselves into thinking we're not that bad when there are issues of darkness in our life that need to be addressed. We can do that. We've been talking in recent months about this struggle between the sin nature and the divine nature. Here again, it is in full force. The sin nature will try to take us down, will try to deceive us. We can lie to ourselves very easily and make it look like it's so good. Paul said it this way in Galatians 5:16-17, also on your outline. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Very powerful, very real stuff. There is a power struggle inside of us that can only be resolved if and when we surrender to the person of the Holy Spirit who gives us power over the sin nature. Okay? When Jesus came into this world, lived, died for us, okay, the penalty of sin and the power of sin have been taken care of. One person said, uh-huh. The power and the penalty of sin have been taken care of. Can you? This is good news, folks. This is good news. The Holy Spirit can help us live a victorious Christian life if that's what we want. But here's part of the struggle. When we're lying to ourselves, when the deception is not being challenged, then our mind is closed to the truth. Okay? That's why verse 29 shows us this direct link. Keep me from lying myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. If, and this is on your outline, if we're lying to ourselves, the only thing our mind is open to is more lies. That really hit me this week. I thought about, wow. You know, if I don't address this issue of self-deception, really the only thing I'm going to get into my life, into my heart and mind, is more lies. Because the deception's not going to let through the truth, right? This is serious. This is very, very important. So the implication is we must continue to be desperate for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our only hope. Our only hope of keeping an open mind, of having the integrity, of being open to the truth, of chasing after light instead of chasing after darkness. Very important. We can just, again, on a daily basis, surrender ourselves to the person of the Holy Spirit. I can't say that enough. I could probably say it every week, and I would need to say it every week because every one of us has these challenges that we need to address, and they have to be the filling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 30. I have chosen to be faithful. Listen to these words. They're powerful words. I have determined to live by your regulations. I cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. I will pursue your commands, for you are expanding my, or for you expand my understanding. Right? These are very active. They're not passive words. right? Power-filled words. Chosen, determined, cling, pursue. This is the kind of intention that is at the very heart of every fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. This is the kind of on-purpose life that a fully devoted follower leads. We have got to have that. We've got to have that kind of integrity going on inside of us. Lost my spot. Where are we? Here we are. What does it mean to be put to shame? We're talking about here the shame of compromising our integrity, the shame of lying to ourselves, the shame of falling short of God's expectations, the shame of being closed off to the truth, the shame of never growing any deeper in our faith, the shame of being closed to the Holy Spirit. When we stay in deception and truth can't get in, we will experience shame. Ask Lance Armstrong. Okay? His name, his reputation, his accomplishments, everything has been ripped up. It's gone. It's evaporated. Okay? His respect, all of that. Friends, family, I mean, I know his close friends and family are still going to love him, of course, but he's made a mess of his life. And it's easy for any one of us to be in that same boat. For the grace of God, we say, right, there go I. It doesn't take much for any, if, we've said this before, every one of us has that weak spot that under the right circumstances, we will be the one making the wrong choice. Every one of us has that. It just depends on what that is. All right? 32, I will pursue your commands for you expand my understanding. What does that mean? Expand my understanding. I increasingly have more of God's perspective as my perspective. That's what it means. I increasingly have more of God's perspective as my perspective. Talked about the person and the role of the Holy Spirit. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit, and this is on an increasing, a more and more basis, to show me things as God sees them. To help me see things the way God sees things. There's no way to say it, right? What God sees as good, as right, as pure, as true, the Holy Spirit helps me see things that way. What God sees as sin, as darkness, as impurity, as whatever, the Holy Spirit helps me see that, and I agree. I take that on and make that a part of my life. And this is on your outline. Again, another way of saying this is I'm willing to make adjustments in my life as God's Word instructs me. Is that true? Ask yourself that question. Am I willing to make adjustments as God's Word shows me that I need to? That really is kind of the heart of being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Am I willing to make adjustments when God's Word or the Holy Spirit points out something to me? It's really what separates fans from followers. It's what separates participants from spectators. The old expression separates the men from the boys. There it is. Am I willing to make those adjustments? If I am, I have integrity in my faith life. God will invest in me if I have that kind of integrity, if I'm willing to make those. And sometimes, let's just be honest, it's not easy to make these adjustments. When the Holy Spirit kind of knows where to tap us on our heart and say, you know what, you need to deal with this issue, sometimes we don't want to. Say, well, you know what, I'm not so sure that I'm ready. I don't know that I trust you, God, to take care of me if I do that. Making these kind of changes that the psalm writer is talking about here requires honesty, okay, openness, humility. You've heard me use the word brokenness before. Brokenness, it is that humility and that openness. This kind of all comes together, and in that moment, the Holy Spirit shows us and says, this needs to change in your life. And we line up with that. And in that moment, there is just a brokenness. The deceit, the self-deception, it's broken and it's painful. It hurts. But it's a good thing. It's a good hurt. It's a good pain because we become more aware of what God wants to do in our life. Whenever we allow the Holy Spirit to take us through that brokenness and then to repentance, because now I see it for what it is and I say, oh Lord, I have messed up. I can see it. Remember what happened when Nathan the prophet confronted David and through that story pointed out his sin to him? In that moment, David experienced brokenness and repentance. Repentance is turning 180 degrees and heading the other way. It's not looking over your shoulder. It's not sidestepping. It's putting it behind you. The only way you can break the power of sin is through the person of the Holy Spirit. The only way you're going to be able to do that. You can confess and say, oh Lord, I'm wrong. You can do that all day long. Doesn't mean a thing. It's when you confess it, repent, and turn away from it that you show God by your feet. Which way am I going? Am I going to stay on it or am I going to repent? Which way am I going to go? Brokenness, humility, openness. When God's Word shows us, when His Holy Spirit shows us, here's what you need to do. If we're going to be people of integrity, it's in those moments that we make a difference. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, your Word makes it pretty clear that this stuff can be pretty tough. There are things in our lives, every one of us, that you still want to change. Things that still need to be taken care of. And until the day we die, that'll be true. Lord, help us never to step away from this change and growth process. Help us to be honest with ourselves, honest with you. Holy Spirit, help us always to be open to you and to welcome you into our hearts and our minds, into our values, into our choices, into our perspective. Lord, help us to be the kind of people that you would be if you were us. Again, this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to just let God know that you're hearing what He's saying and that you're willing to make some adjustments in your life. Think about this. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do this in just a moment, but this is not just a simple raise your hand. Yeah, I heard what you said, God, but this is a raise your hand. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make the adjustments that God's asking me to make. Again, with heads bowed and eyes closed, so everybody has some privacy. If you want to make that kind of life change and you know the Holy Spirit's putting it before you today, I'm going to let you just indicate that between you and the Lord by raising your hand. You can put your hand back down as soon as you're finished. Just let Him know, I want to do business with you today, God. Amen. You can put your hands down. Anyone else, this is your opportunity to make a life-changing decision today. Amen. Amen. Awesome. A number of hands have gone up again this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness to our prayers, for your presence in this place, and for your work to continue in us, and for your work to be evident among us. Father, for each one that raised their hand this morning, signaling to you an honest desire to change some things that you're pointing out this morning, Lord, grant them success. We know that you are faithful, that where you begin a good work, you will bring it to completion. And so, Lord, for each person that would get discouraged in the working out of this decision today, we know that your Word has already revived and renewed. And so, Lord, that you will see it completed. Not because we're going to make it your job or your responsibility, because you are greater than he that is going to try to take us away from this. So God, we affirm again today your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your investment in our lives. And now, Lord, reign supreme in these decisions. And Lord, we look forward to some testimonies that will come out of this and be an inspiring encouragement to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray and said, amen. 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 Amen.